called on the name of the Lord. If you want to turn with me to the book of Joshua, the 22nd chapter, the 26th verse. Joshua, 22nd chapter, 26th verse. We'll read down the 27th. It says, "Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offerings nor the sacrifice, but that it may be witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord." Maybe there was Joshua, he's talking about having that altar there and saying, let's build an altar that our children can't say that we can't serve the Lord. We can't do service for the Lord. In that book of Genesis, it talked about how Abram there was building an altar where he can pray unto the Lord. And I feel in our heart today that there's many people in our movement that have put down their altar. They have destroyed their altar, but they need to rebuild it. Thought maybe a month, or maybe 2 months ago, I have a little altar that my dad made me, and he stained it and everything. And I always prayed by my bedside. And I began to look at it one day, and I began to look. There was dust on that altar. And I said, Lord, what a shame on myself that there is dust on that altar. So what I done, I got some cleaning things, and I went down there and I wiped that altar good. And then I began to get down on my knees and begin to pray and say earnestly with God and say, God, I need you in a better prayer life. I need the Lord to help me in trouble, and get when the troubles come, I could be able to stand. I looked up the definition of an altar. There was three of them that I'd like to share. It says, in an altar is a place designed or separated for worship unto God, a place of fellowship with God. The second one says, an altar is a place where prayer and praises are rendered to God. The third says, an altar is a place of refuge. One, that's wonderful, ain't it? A place of refuge and comfort from the troubles of this world. Brother Kurt, I thought about maybe when I get low in spirit and discouraged, I can get down to my house and I get down on my knees and pray at my little altar, and I could feel a little bit of comfort coming by me because I've rebuilded my altar. And so many people today need to be able to rebuild their altar instead of destroying their altar and not praying and giving God earnest time with Him. We need to rebuild our altar. But there was a time in my life where I got so spiritually low, and I got to the point where I didn't know if I was ever going to make it. And a prophet come to me to church at Cartersville, and she spoke to me and she said, so if you don't pray like you know to pray, that there's a trap that's going to be laid beset before you, and if you don't pray, you'll fall. And you know what I done? I slacked up on my praying, Sister Carlene. I slowed down and didn't read. Slowed down on going to church, and there was a trap laid right before me, and I fell. The Spirit spoke to me and said, "If you fall, when you fall, you'll weep, and you'll weep, and you'll weep." Brother Dwight, at that altar, I wept, and I wept, and I wept, because I failed God. Rebuild your altar. If you're slowed down on your praying, rebuild it. God's able to help you. He's our comfort. The Bible says that a prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth much. You may think you're little, and you think, well, I don't have this earnest prayer. I don't have this in my heart. You can pray. Where's Sister Alexa at? Where's she at? She had cancer. Her mother and dad prayed earnestly. Even the church people prayed. That's what power of prayer. She's healed today. No more cancer. That's how powerful prayer is today. If you'll get earnest with God, God can help you. So rebuild your altar. Pray. I wanted to read this. I love reading. I don't know if y'all are much of readers, but Leonard Ravenhill is one of a good writer. And he said this about prayer. He said, at the judgment seat, the most embarrassing thing the believer will face will be the smallness of his praying. What about that? What if we get up to glory and we feel like we haven't prayed enough? I want to be able to get in my closet, JB. Clear everything out. I don't care what's in there. And get down and earnestly with God, Brother Dwight, and pray. If it takes 4 or 5 hours, earnestly get with God and praying for God to move in my life. I need that. We all need that. I don't care. You may think this is silly, but I don't care if you push a broom for a living. While you're pushing that broom, Brother Dwight, you should be praying to the Lord. I don't care if you're a cashier at McDonald's, if you're putting cash into the cash register. Pray in your mind and heart. Always have a prayer in your heart, and you'll make it through. When Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, before he was to be turned over into the pilots, and to the maybe the warriors or whatever they called, the governors, and he had 2 disciples with him. And he told them, he come down and he found down that he was asleep, Brother Dwight. And he looked at him and he said, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the same way that happened with me. Before that trap come, my spirit was strong, but my flesh become weak. And the devil set that trap and I fell because I slay it up on my praying. I wasn't praying enough, JB. I thought about maybe David prayed 3 times a day, or Daniel. Daniel 3 times a day, in the morning, in the middle of the day, and at night. He would get down. And his window sill, and he would get down and he would look up to the heavens and he would pray. No prayer life is no Christian life. If you don't pray, it's hard to be a Christian, Brother Kurt. If you don't pray, it's hard to live good. Because the devil wants to come in and he'll give you this and he'll give you that. So many distractions are there in the churches today. If there's something else that's pulling you away from your prayer life, get rid of it. The Bible says if your right hand offend thee, cast it off. For it's better to go in halt than your whole body in hell. Do you think that the rich man, even though he had all goods, he thought, I wish I prayed. I wish I gave a prayer life. Where is he at now? In torment. You've got a duty today. You've got a service to pray. I know it's quiet. It takes an earnest heart with God. These little 5-minute prayers, getting down and getting back up and going to work. It's going to take somebody getting down earnestly with God and say, God, I need your help. Please help me. With the bottom of your heart. They sing a song, 99 and a half won't do. You'll take 100. Prayer is the key. When Jesus looked at the disciples, he told them, could you not watch 1 hour? That's what's going on. Can't you not watch 1 hour? Why are you slow for? It takes an earnest heart. I prayed. And you all know, you all heard my story. And I don't mean to embarrass my wife. I love her to death. But I would get down in my altar at home. And I know that the life that she was heading, Brother Dwight, I know where she was going. And I got down in earnest heart with God, and I said, Lord, I know you can knock at her heart. You can move on her heart. You can soften it. And look where she's at today. She's in the house of God. By my prayer, it's nothing that I do, but I'm calling out upon God. Whatever you're facing today, God's able to help you. If you'll get down earnest with God, God can help you. God can help you. Bible says the Psalm of David, I will lift my eyes unto the hills, for whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Why should you trouble today? You've got a prayer life for you today. I say, children, if you would pray, I would move in these great needs that you have before me. I've called you, and I've called you to pray. I say, child, I've called thee. We need to pray, Brother Kurt. We've got a world that's died lost. We need to pray. I've got an uncle and aunts and everything that's died lost, Brother Dwight. Now they need to pray. I've got a father that's sinful. I need to pray. You've got loved ones that need to be saved. You need to pray. Would it be worth it not to pray and see them go to hell? Because you're too worried about the stresses of life. Cast all them things away and pray. Pray. I wondered, Brother Dwight, all the time, what if we could hear the sounds of hell? Would they be yelling, pray, pray? We need it. We need prayer. Don't fall out on me. I love you. And if you have it on against me, forgive me. But we need to pray. We need to pray. I hope that helped you. We need help today. Let's get in our closets at home and let's pray. The Bible says if you go in your prayer, pray in secret, He'll reward you openly. Let's take a prayer life today. I hope that helped you. Come on, Brother Jacob.